This is HPR episode 2848 entitled Random Numbers in Haskell and is part of the series Haskell. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto and is about 33 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutorto talks how to generate random numbers and other values in Haskell.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, you're listening to the Hacker Public Radio, and this is Tuukka Turto talking about random number generation in Haskell. Haskell functions are pure, meaning that it's data in, data out, and when given the same set of parameters, you always get the same response. You won't get a different response. And how are you going to have a random numbers in that kind of system? Turns out it's not actually that tricky after you do some digging. There's two type classes involved here. Type class is a sort of like an interface in the object-oriented programming. So it defines a set of functions that you can run using the data that you have the instance of the type class for. So first type class involved here is the random gen that defines three methods. So first one, called next, has a interface g arrow tuple of int and g, and g is in here. The g is the data that you are defining the type class instance for. So what this does is that, given a random number generator, it will, and if you call next to the random number generator, it will give you back a tuple where the first item is a int and the second item is the new random number generator. So then there's a gen range that has type instance of g arrow tuple of int, and this is that gives you the range of the values that the generator will or can return. And the last one is split, that has a signature of g arrow tuple of g. So if you have a random number generator, you can split it in two, and then you have two distinct random number generators. So, and that's it. That's the source of randomness that you need in your in generating random numbers. So how this works is that the random number generator is, in this case, is a pseudo random number generator. It will starting from some given state, it will generate a sequence of numbers, and that sequence will always be the same. So if you have a random number generator, you call next to that same random number generator five times, you're going to get the five same results. So if you want to have a sequence of different kinds of numbers, you can call the next, and then on the first, it returns a tuple where the first item is your random number, and the second item is a new generator, and then you call next to that new generator and you get a new random number and new generator. So this is how you get around the fact that you will always have the same response to same set of parameters. Okay. but this is this is perfectly usable, but it's a bit unwieldy because, well, unwieldy is maybe not the correct word, but you need to do a bit of arithmetic if you want to get a, for example, values from 1 to 6 integers, that is, or if you want to get booleans, for example. But for that, there's another type class called random. So it has much more defined functions. So the first one here is a random R. So the definition goes like class random R where. So the A in the following type signatures is that your data that has instance of the random. So random R has a signature of random gen G, fat arrow, tuple of A and A, arrow G, arrow tuple of A and G, meaning that the G in type signature is a something that has instance of random gen that we talked just a second ago, and A is that has the instance of random. So given a tuple of A's and a random gen G, you get a tuple of A and G. So what does that mean in practice? This means that if you are call random R and give it a range as a tuple for example 1 to 6 and the random gen, you're going to get back an answer that is a tuple. First element is a int from 1 to 6 and the second element is your new generator. Then there's the random lowercase, this is a function that has the type signatures of random gen G, fat arrow, G, arrow, tuple of A and G. So this is the similar one with the previous one, but you're not going to give a range that you want the values. You're going to get in case of integers, you're going to get a minimum values between minimum and maximum values that the integer can hold. Then there's the random RF, which is similar to the first case. It has type signatures of random gen G, fat arrow, tuple of A and A, arrow G, tuple of arrow, open bracket A, close bracket. Meaning that when you can give a range, like from 1 to 6, and random gen G, then you're going to get an infinite list of random numbers or random values between in that range, in our case numbers from 1 to 6. And then there's a randoms, which works is same with the second case that of type signature random gen G, fat arrow, G, arrow, open bracket A, close bracket. So this will, when given a random generator, random gen, it will produce infinite list of values for you. And then there's two more. These are random RIO, that is tuple of A and A to IO of A. And then there's a random IO, that is just a IO of A. And these are special kinds, like if you probably noticed already that these don't take the random gen as a parameter. The first one only takes the range and it returns of IO, EO of A. Meaning that this one you can call without supplying your own random gen, but you can only call this inside of IO monad, meaning in a effectful code, essentially. I'll try to explain those briefly just in a moment. So in short, the random gen is source is our source of randomness. It produces int in some big range, and then random then uses random gen to generate random values of A in manner that is specific for A. So if you are talking about int, there's not that much of difference there between random gen and random, only that random uses random gen to get some random values and then offers you a slightly better interface where you can say that I want random numbers from 1 to 6. But nothing stops you making an instance of random, for example, for Boolean that exists actually, I think. And in that case, you're not going to get numbers anymore, but you're going to get Boolean values. So you can say, you can call random as, you can call random RS, supply it with a true and false as a range, and the random gen G, and you're going to get an infinite list of trues and falses. Or you can even call randoms and just give it your random gen, and you will going to get an infinite list of true and false to infinite list of booleans, essentially. Or you can have you can define your own data type, whatever that means, maybe, and make instance of random for that. For example, if you had a I don't know, data that describes car, for example, it would have a model and make and name, for example, then you could, well, actually that's not a particular good example. If you had a your own data type for colors, that is you have four colors, red, blue, green, yellow, then you could make an instance of random for that, and then you could use that to generate those values. So instead in your code, instead of having to, I mean, of course you have to do it somewhere, but in the code that then uses your random instance, you wouldn't have to do it anymore in a way that you would generate values from 1 to 4 and then map those results to the colors. But you could just say that I want random colors, and this machinery would make you random colors. And if you then later on added a new color, pink for example, then you wouldn't have to change any other code but that single piece of random instance definition. And then all the places where you are using random to generate colors would automatically work. So this I found that when I realized how this thing works, it was like this makes so much sense to do things this way. Why didn't I think of it earlier? So where to get the random, like random gen? The where to get the random gen? That's a good question, because random is a, you can make an instance for your own data, or you can use pre-existing instances for the base library data types for random, but then you still need the source of randomness, the random gen. So where do you get that from? There's a function called getstdgen that has type of IO-stdgen, and that stdgen has instances read, show, and random gen, and the random gen is the one that we are interested. Read and show are nice to have, but because read is the way that you can turn a string into a correctly formatted string, that is, into the std10, and the show is the one that can you can use to turn the std10 into the string. For example, if you want to look what the data looks inside of it, it's just two numbers. But the random gen is the one that we are interested in. So we can just call the get std gen and we get the std gen. But because this has the type of IO std gen, this means that you cannot use this everywhere. You can only use this inside of the IO monad. Because if you could create your random number generator anywhere and just use it anywhere, then it wouldn't be really your functions wouldn't anymore be returning the same values from the same parameters. So what are those effectful functions I mentioned earlier? So for example, if we have a function called stuff that takes two integers and does something to them and returns a third integer, this would have a type of int arrow int arrow int. So two int parameters and int as a result. Then if we have an effectful one, it would have a type of int arrow io io int. So it would this type sequencer would say that it takes two integers and it has full access to outside world, like it's not confined inside of the function anymore, and it returns an int. So it has access to network and it has access to a hard drive, and it has access to current time and everything. So IO gives you access to that outside world, and anything that has type of IO something can only be called from other IO functions. They can call pure functions, that is functions that don't have access to the outside world, but they cannot be called from the IO functions. So IO functions can only be called from other IO functions, but they can call IO functions. IO functions cannot call IO functions. And so basically you have two options. So you have the code that needs random numbers in effectful functions, so that you can call that get std gen to get your random number generator that is seeded with a, well, it doesn't really matter what it's seeded for, but it could be current time, or it could be if the operating system is offering a standard random number generator. So it's seeded with value from there. Another option is to use the get random gen in an effectful function and then type it to a pure function and then use it there. Because after the random number generator has been seeded, then it's not random anymore. It's wholly deterministic. It will always produce the same sequence of numbers. It's the seeding part is the thing that needs the source of real randomness, or more real randomness. Randomness is sort of hard to get absolutely correctly right, but yeah. So example. This code will be in the show notes. It's a short, but there's a bit of stuff there. I want to get n unique entries from given list of random in random order. And if n is greater than the length of the list, all items of the list will be returned, obviously. So our function is called getR. And it has type signatures of getR, colon, colon, random gen g, fat arrow, g, arrow int, arrow list of a, arrow list of a. So when you are given a random gen and the amount of items you want to get and the list of items, you're going to get back a list of items. And the definition, actual definition of this is get r, g, n, xs, these are the parameters, equals, next line, fmap, open paren, xs, exclamation, exclamation, close paren, ids. So, but what does this part do? This is using fmap to run a function to each and every element in that IDs. And that function is a xs exclamation mark exclamation mark. So double exclamation mark is a function that you use to get element by index from a list. So the left side is a list, and on the right side is the index of the element. Because we are omitting the index here, we are having a partial function, meaning that it's a function that is waiting a single parameter, and then we'll take that from the list xs, it will get the item of that index. And this is a function that can crash. If you try to access outside of the boundaries of the list, it will crash. Or I think it will actually throw an exception, but it's not a, it won't handle those cases. So you have to pay attention what you are doing there. IDs. So these are coming from the definition continues. Where IDs equals take open paren min n dollar length xs close paren dollar nub dollar random rs open paren 0 comma length xs minus 1 close paren g. That's a mouthful, but I'll try to pack it. So if you start from the right side, random rs tuple of 0 to length xs minus 1 g. This will give you an infinite list of numbers from 0 to the length of our list minus 1. So if you have a list of 10 items, this will give you numbers from infinite list of numbers from 0 to 9. And it will actually be infinite, so that you shouldn't try to count items on this list or print it on the screen. There's no time for that. Then there's a nub function that we are going to run to that infinite list of numbers, and this will discard duplicates. So given infinite list of numbers from 1 to 10, oh sorry, from 1 0 to 9, nub will make sure that it's an infinite list from 0 to 9 with only those items once in the list. And this is another dangerous part, because sort of dangerous, because while it is possible to do that, otherwise we wouldn't be doing it here, if you try to print out that list, it will again take forever. But it will print 10 values, and then in then it will try to find the next value, and it will never find the next value because there's that infinite list of numbers from 0 to 9, and NUP is dropping all the numbers from that list that it has already seen. So there won't be next number. It will keep going forever, but there won't be a next number. So now we have a infinite list of numbers of from 0 to 9. Then we are going to use take. That has the first parameter is min n dollar length xs. So it is the minimum, the smallest one of two. So n, that's the amount of numbers we want to take from that list, or the length of the list. Because if we have a this excess list isn't our list of random numbers, it's the original list that was given to us that we want to get items from. So if we have a 10 items on that list, then the length excess will be 10. And if we want to take 5 from there, that min will mean that minimum of 5 and 10. That's 5, so it will return 5. But if we have a list of 10 items and we want to take 20 items from there, then it's a min 20, 10. And it will return, the value will be 10. Because we don't want to try to take more items from our infinite list than there is unique values, because that will fail in a way that it will keep going forever. So we have an infinite list of numbers from 0 to 9, and then we have the amount of we want to take from there, and we are using the last step is to use take for that. So take amount of numbers we are taking from that infinite list. And that's our ideas. And that is what we are going to fmap over. So now we have for example, if you are taking 5 numbers from our list from 1 to 10, let's say they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because some freak occurrence. Then we are using the fmap excess double exclamation mark on the list of 1 to 5. So, and then we are returning a list of those five items. So it's a short definition. It's just it's not that complicated, but it's a mouthful when you first see it, and like this. Couple concepts that were new to me when I was writing this, and I didn't write it this neat, small and neat in the first go. I wrote quite a bit longer definition, and then I stared at it for a bit and started seeing and experimenting how you can make it a bit more elegant. There's a couple edge cases that are taken care of by the prelude, the standard library of the Haskell. For example, if you supply an empty list to this one, if you try to take elements from the empty list, you automatically get an empty list attack, no matter how many elements you try to take. Also, if you try to take from a list of 5 items, if you try to take 10 items, you're just going to get 5 items back. And another one is that if you try to take a negative amount of items, like for example take minus 1, you are going to get an empty list back. And how would one go and use about this? So this one is a pure function. Given the same parameters, it will always return the same end result. And this is how to use it. It's for example, if you have a function called test, it will be test double colon io list of int. And test equals do, next line, g arrow left get std gen, next line, return dollar get r g for open bracket 1 dot dot then, close bracket. And that's it. So the it's a effectful function, IO function, that returns a list of int. And gro left get std gen initializes or gets a random number generator, random gen that we talk in the beginning of the episode, and then get r g for open bracket then dot dot one dot dot then close bracket. This will call our get r function and use the random gen that we got previously, take four items from the list of numbers from 1 to 10. And then the return there is to just graph the value in the IO monad. In the end, that difficult when you know what you are doing, as always with the programming, or most of them in the programming, let's say that way. And I'm I find it really cool that they split the generating randomness in two parts, like this. The random gen that is source is your source of randomness, and then there's the random that is your data type specific generation of those random values using the random gen. Pseudo randomness doesn't require IO per se, so the getting started part is what needs the randomness. After that, it's a deterministic sequence of values. Simple computations with only few random numbers or infinite sequence of random numbers are easy enough with these. But if you have a long one, where you have more logic and where you are generating more random numbers, more than just one or two, then it's a bit of a hassle to keep carrying on that random number generator. Like always when you create a new random number, you have to remember to take the new random number generator, random gen, and pass it along and use that, because if you accidentally use the old one, you are going to get the same value again. But so the long ones, where you need more random numbers or more different kind of random values, there's a monad random monad for you that basically takes care of that random gen. I mean, it is, you don't have to care about that, it is implicitly carried alongside of the computation. So that's all. If you have any questions, comments, ideas, any kind of feedback, they are welcomed. You can catch me on email or at Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social. Okay, thanks for listening. Ad astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.